What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
I'm concerned about a lot of things coming off of tonight. You know, we've got to look at the film and really just see who we have, who can help us, what we may need, and then also things that we can just do better execution-wise, fundamentally, those things. So there's a lot that needs to get cleaned up.
That's Bills head coach Sean McDermott on an answer about, or sorry, on a question about Cole Bishop. Right, Sal Mariano, Democrat and Chronicle, asks about your concern about Bishop, and he says, I'm concerned about a lot of things. Going to see who we have, who can help us. So, whatever. It's preseason. They lost 38-0 to the Bears. The Saints and Jaguars played to a tie. That might be equally as troubling if you're a Jags fan. Like, what?
Know, we've had a few of those, though, haven't
ties?
We?
Ties, yeah.
We had a few ties in the preseason. Ties.
Happy Monday. Jeremy and Joe with you. It's a football Monday to a point. You know, it is preseason.
I wonder when the last time the Bills put a zero up on a scoreboard, preseason or otherwise. Probably been a long time, right? Maybe in the preseason it could have happened recently. Because, again, we would not remember, right? Or do you think we would? In 3 years, will we remember the Bills get shut out in a preseason game?
Well, the thing about that's a trick is yes, because we remember the goofy things that happen in the preseason.
But that's what I mean.
I would never remember that the Lions went 4-0 the year they went 0-16 unless it was
right.
It's interesting that it happened. It's like I don't know. You remember something very odd. If I asked you the weirdest thing you've ever seen at a Bills game, you might remember that and have forgotten the 2nd through 10th weirdest things you've ever seen. We remember the 6-3 Bills Browns game because it was so
stupid.
It was comically bad.
Right.
Yeah. So 38-0 is anecdotally, it's interesting.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. The last time the Bills have been shut out at all was the Allen rookie game in Green Bay. That's the last 20, time.
22-0.
Yeah. 22-0.
And
before
that,
you got to go back to 2008.
803-0550, our phone number. So the Bills get hammered. The numbers are not good. They sat a bunch of their starters. I'm happy with that. They got out mostly healthy. We'll see about Jordan Hancock. Connor McGovern says he kind of just tweaked something, so he missed the game and sat out. He said he tweaked his hamstring in Friday's practice, held out as a precaution, said he's feeling good, would have played if it was the regular season. And the Bills... their offensive line, they're down Alec Anderson and Cedric Van Pran Granger and Tylan Grable for this game, so they're even further on the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Mixing and matching pieces all up and down the defensive or offensive line. And, you know, they sat just about everybody of consequence.
So very quickly, they did get shut out in the 2022 preseason finale against Carolina. Go ahead and name the three Carolina quarterbacks from that game.
Sam Darnold. Teddy Bridgewater.
Nope. But there is another NFL starter.
Mayfield, that's right. The famous picture.
And then P.J. Walker.
Mayfield, Darnold, and P.J. Walker. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Mayfield in Carolina is completely forgotten.
Couldn't score in the preseason against the Bills.
No, the Bills got shut out.
Oh, the Bills got shut out.
The Bills got shut out, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that game at all. 803-0550. We'll get some calls in. See what you think about it. The joint practice. Sal's coming up at 8 o'clock. So if you watched the game last night and you come away terrified, knowing it's the preseason, definitely tune in at 8 for Sal, because Sal would have been there live at the joint practice where we maybe saw some clips tweeted out or whatever. But we'll get a breakdown of that and a recap of that as well, because that's where the Bills might have done some good things, where not a lot of good things happened at Soldier Field last night. I will say this about Caleb Williams. It's 2 years in a row where he's making really impressive throws against the Bills in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Ben Johnson might get things to work for him where Matt Eberflus and his staff did not.
Yeah.
His one incompletion for Caleb Williams, his final number was like 6 of 7.
Yep.
His one incompletion was impressive.
What was the incompletion?
He gets flushed and he's rolling to his right and he fires it and just misses a little bit low.
Yeah.
But a couple times Williams in that game last night, I know, preseason, Bills backup, so you don't have to tell me. But a couple times he spun that ball, and it was like a pro day or a workout. Ooh, if you're a scout, you're watching that. Ooh, look at this. And I will also admit that I had the thought, but I've buried it down deep because it's the preseason, and we don't have these thoughts in the preseason. But I did have the thought, man, look at Colston Loveland getting open all over the field and being a weapon all over the field.
Yeah, but how about that?
But I pushed that down because it's the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
The preseason is a time where you feel these emotions, and then you think, no, don't do that.
Well, it's the preseason. It's confirmation of what you might have already thought, which is, hey, he's got a coach that got Sam Laporta to have like the best rookie season a tight end's ever had, and he was a top 10 pick. So
Loveland was, yeah.
It should work there.
Yeah, I think it will.
Right? Their quarterback is crazy talented. The coach is awesome. And they've got weapons everywhere. It is the Bears, though.
That's right.
And that's one of those teams where it's like, oh, they'll figure out a way to mess it up.
Yeah.
Because they usually find a way to screw it up. But the guys that are in charge there, in other circumstances, have total confidence in.
One thing I wonder about the Bears and Ben Johnson, like, what kind of cred does Ben Johnson already have? If it doesn't work out, would people be quick to think, well, I guess Caleb Williams doesn't have it? Because Ben Johnson did it with Goff, and Jared Goff was thought to be left for dead, and Ben Johnson is one of the people involved in getting him back to being one of the very most productive quarterbacks in the league.
How would he not be, though? Like, what would it look like? Is it because he's holding on to the ball and taking a million sacks still?
Because
if he's doing that and there are guys that are being schemed open, then Johnson will not get blamed for that.
Right, that's right.
But if he's not scheming guys open and Williams is like, I don't know. I guess he doesn't have to escape blame, but I think people are more ready to go after Williams than they are Johnson.
Larry in South Florida. Larry, good morning. Happy Football Monday.
Hey, good morning, guys. I was one of the smarter ones, and after their third touchdown, I said, that's it. I'm going to bed. I mistakenly just did a quick check before half and saw it was 28-0. I was like, okay, I know where this is going. So I'm still concerned. I know it was, you know, our twos and threes and fours, but I'm still concerned with the pass rush. And I know Greg Rousseau is quite a bit younger than Trey Hendrickson. However, I would still love to get Hendrickson here. And I know Cincinnati said they want an impact player and a pick. Now, I don't know. I know Rousseau's got an extension and a healthy contract. I don't know what that does to the cap, but I would definitely offer up Rousseau straight up, or Rousseau in a mid to late round pick, or, and I'm bringing it up, I'll be the first to bring up the name and you'll know right away, AJ Epenesa. I'd offer him and possibly a second or third. I'd hate to give up a second. However, I haven't been real thrilled with being second round picks. Got to admit. And if we were able to pull that off, next year has to be, and I'm back on that wide receiver train, first-round pick has to be a wide receiver. It's painful to see that we still don't have a legit number one. Again, we got to wait to see what Coleman does. We got to wait to see how Shakir is. Got to see Palmer. I still have faith in Elijah Moore. But I to see Burden the third, I forgot his Lant was it? I don't know his first name.
Luther Burden.
Bears last night. Didn't they get him late first round or second round?
Second round.
And second round, yeah. We could have got him because we moved up to got Sanders. And I looked at Sanders last night. I watched him. I wasn't impressed. And Landon Jackson was not impressed. Walker, he does take a couple bodies. So I think in the future, that's going to be a good pick. I don't really know that much about Sanders. Jackson, to me, was a waste. I would have used that pick on a receiver because you know there's going to be receivers that go in the third round that are going to stand out this year. So I'd love to get your thoughts on Hendrickson to see if it's even viable. Bean would have to pull magic. Well, he just did to get Cook. I don't know where he's getting this money from. But like you said, the cap really doesn't matter. They can move stuff around. I would give up Rousseau for Hendrickson, or Epenesa and give a higher pick. I'd love your thoughts, fellas.
You definitely cannot do that on Rousseau.
No.
The ship has sailed. If just to entertain Larry's specific request here, you can't do that on Rousseau. The time to do that, if you wanted to do that with Hendrickson and Rousseau, would have been before you extended him. Now that you've extended him and given him a contract and money, it is not feasible to take the dead cap that he would be and then get Hendrickson. There's no way to make that happen.
Yeah, next year specifically. Yes. Do you know what it would do to him?
Like so $20 million dead cap hit?
This year would only cost the Bills $3
okay.
to trade Rousseau. Next year it would be $28.
All right, $28.
And then Hendrickson's deal on top of it.
Right, so now I'm spending $50 million on dead on these two defensive ends. It's one guy's not going to happen.
Right, and reset the Epinesa counter.
Right, Epinesa traded today. Epinesa, that could happen. The problem is Cincinnati... I thought Ian Hart had said the best tweet on this, the best comment on this, and it is so odd what's happening with Hendrickson in Cincinnati. Hendrickson is a great defensive end, and he has outplayed his contract, and here's what Ian Hart wrote. Thinking through the best potential fits for Trey Hendrickson if he's traded, what about the Bengals? Legit contender trying to win now with reasonable cap space, but the defense is looking a bit rough with a major need in the pass rush department.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bengals.
Yeah.
They're a great fit for him, but whatever.
They don't want to pay him.
I guess not. There are reports that Carolina is a team that's there. Maybe they want to trade him to the NFC.
That was the only NFC team I saw listed, though.
The other two were?
Browns and Colts.
Not going to trade him to the Browns. And the Colts, what are you doing?
I try the Browns. What are we worried about the Browns for? Go ahead, take them.
The Browns are just going to win games.
Waste away in Cleveland.
With Myles Garrett and Trey Hendrickson.
They're going to try to win games 9-6 every single week.
No,
I don't know what the Colts are trying to do. Are they trying to win?
Probably.
32-year-old pass rusher. I mean, part of it might be that, again, you're at a time in the year where like the Bills can't really do it. How many teams can realistically do it? Maybe there are a few, but I don't
think
it's... Is it even half the league?
Yeah, but they can't. And on to follow up one more thing on Burden went two picks before the Bills picked, and the Bills moved up with the Bears. So the Bears had multiple picks. The Bears traded down with the Bills after taking Burden. So the idea that you were going to get him, you probably would have had to move up into the second round if you wanted to go for Burden. The odd receiver. What are we doing here? What do you want from me? I think there were three or four rounds in this draft they wanted one, and it just didn't fall that way. Isaac Tesla scored again for the Lions at a nice play in the preseason.
Back shoulder.
Yeah, Torrey Horton's a name. I think they might wanted him. Isaiah Bond, who did not get drafted because of legal troubles, has since... He said he was going to the Browns. Did the Browns finally...
I haven't seen that made official, was a thing with him in the Browns.
Right, the Bills met with Isaiah Bond 6 times in the pre-draft?
Something like
that. And he's a speedster, so whatever.
He was thought to be like a second-round pick.
Yes, and he didn't get drafted.
Right.
And they met with him a bunch. Private workout, dinner.
Yeah, 4.3 speed.
Yeah. So we'll get to that next year.
He was ranked by Mel Kiper 15th overall, Jordan Reed 23rd overall, Matt Miller 16th overall,
and Field did not Yates, get drafted.
15th overall, 35th overall by Vinny. Like, everyone had him as like a first round pick or like one of the top 5 receivers, and he didn't get drafted because of legal stuff.
Yep.
I don't see the official Cleveland thing for him. So
he wrote out, his agency did that, like, thank you for the opportunity from the Browns. And I don't know if I've seen that anywhere.
Arrived late last night, set to sign a 3-year deal with the Browns today, but then it was never made official, so I'm not sure why it hasn't been announced yet.
Yep. Thanks, Larry. 803-0550. The Bills fall to the Bears 38-0. And on their draft class, Hairston's hurt. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Sanders, I think, shows some real good promise. I think people have been, if you've been watching Sanders at camp and even in these games. And Deion Walker does as well. I think Deion Walker is healthy. And last night he's in the backfield on Bajan's shoulder on a play that was ruled a fumble but then called back incomplete. Landon Jackson, you know, we'll see about that. I think he's living up to the scouting report so far. Powerful, not exactly, you know, bendy or anything like that.
But he's putting zeros up on the stat sheet, right? And I asked Sal about him at camp. He's like, I haven't noticed him. Like, hasn't made a play, hasn't really made a name for himself. Like, it kind of sounds to me like if he wasn't drafted, he would be a player we've never heard of.
All right.
Which You know, it's preseason.
It's preseason.
It's training camp. Wasn't a pick I liked in the first place, but listen, like that's the type of guy he is. He's a Chris Kelce type of defensive end to me. You're probably never going to hear his name when he's out there on the field, and he might be doing his job every single play.
Yeah, the Bills.
Right? Is that fair? Like he's the type of defensive end that sets an edge and defends the run. And when Brandon Bean says, like, I want to get Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow on the ground, I'm not sure he's the guy that's going to be doing that.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Joe in Rochester. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, just a quick question about the lone Bills touchdown that got called back, you know, that defensive score. They called it incomplete pass. But I was just wondering, like, your thoughts on it. The first thing that popped into my mind was, well, gee, if it's incomplete, the guy was in the pocket, no wide receiver in the area, the ball didn't make it back to the line of scrimmage. That's the criteria for intentional grounding. And I was just wondering why they didn't even discuss that. And I was just wondering your thoughts.
Well, because if a player is hit, like he's got a defender impeding his ability to throw. And anytime that's going to be the case, like if you get blasted as a quarterback or hit or held and the ball doesn't reach its target, they're not going to call intentional grounding just because they know that, you know, you attempted the throw, but you couldn't get it to where it was going.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
That'd be my best guess. I mean, I'd consider it a victory. They didn't bring Mike Pereira on.
I was going to say, should we call Mike Pereira
to talk about
and ask him?
But
he was dressed crazy sharp last night for
Pereira
for that job, wasn't he?
Did they let him go home in the second half?
They should have. I didn't hear from him.
If he gets to go home in the second half, then he shouldn't be allowed to be in the first half. We're not going to do this thing, NFL. Where the rules officials only show up for the first half of preseason games.
Like, hey, Mike, we're going to talk to Bean. We're going to talk to the Bears guy. We're going to talk to Josh. Like, you can step out. You're good. You can go home.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like getting cut loose when you're working at a whatever, anywhere, a store, a fast food, like a bar.
Like, what are they going to do? Two minutes left in the preseason. Like, all right, what do you see here, Mike?
Yeah.
It's 38-0, and there's a offside and a field goal or some stupid thing. Like, oh, I don't know. It looks like he was on the line. And by definition, that's off. Just whatever.
Dennis in Lockport. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Hey, as you're talking about cat guys and all that, what is your take on Curtis Samuel? Did we make a mistake with that and maybe should have just kept Hollins here and let him drift? Because it just seems like he's a player sitting on the bench taking up a spot that is just not producing. I want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
I think the Bills did want to keep Hollins, which makes me wonder. If they had kept Hollins, which they wanted to do,
yeah, what would be different?
What's different? Would they not have Josh Palmer? Because they just liked
They probably don't have Elijah Moore.
Okay.
That's probably right.
They sign Hollins and they add Moore also. They add Palmer too.
That would be my guess.
Maybe, because Mac Hollins plays on the outside, and now I've got Hollins and Coleman and Palmer outside. Maybe. I just don't know. But on Samuel, he did. The thing about Samuel is he really started to show you how he would fit and what he could do last season in the postseason, and at the end of the regular season. He's just not been available. He had turf toe all year last, or whatever, early part of the year last year, and that was a reason that things didn't get going. And then he gets to be part of the lineup, and he plays. And he made a big difference in the Denver game. So I feel like with Samuel, if you didn't have that little month and a half, 2 months at the end of last season, this would be louder. And right now, what are the Bills' options? Try to trade him while he's hurt? That's tough.
Yeah, or who's going to want him?
Or do you see what he did and think, we've seen what it is. We just want that. Is he much different than, boy, I'm trying to think of like who else they've signed like this where they know it works, and if they wait for it, they could get the returns they want.
Like through injury?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like guys that it's ended up working for after the fact. I don't know how like those guys get in. You know, like thinking about remember OJ Howard like dealt with some nagging stuff when he was here, and like they just cut that. Like they just said like it was a 1 year deal.
And they guaranteed him some money. Like that was money lost. Like,
but they said like we're good. We don't need to wait for this. Yeah. Like we're gonna let it go. And then he never did anything in the league after that. So they might have made the right call. I don't know. Like is there an example of a guy that they really had to wait for? I mean, No, not that. I mean, they tried to wait for Tre'Davious White for a long time.
Yeah.
Then he gets the Achilles tear.
He got hurt again.
And now he's back, so I don't know. I can't. I'd love to see it go well. I like the player, but how would it look? Or how could it happen? Shakir's got a high ankle sprain. If Samuel were to get back on the practice field today and he stays healthy now through to the start of the year, I mean, I could see him, hey, Shakir's got a high ankle sprain. Maybe they don't want to put him in 100% of his role yet. So what does Curtis Samuel do? He plays out of the slot. He gets yak plays. Like, he gets the stuff that Shakir does, and you feed him out of the gates. But what does that sound like? He hasn't practiced in a month.
Right. It'd be one thing if he was available right now. You'd probably get a really good look at it because of the injury to Shakir.
I would think he was in line for a role in week one.
Yeah.
Because of Shakir dealing with an injury that can nag you early on. But he's just not, you can't say that about him. Hasn't practiced in a month. Or close to it.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. It is a victory. No, definitely not a victory.
It's definitely not a victory.
Well, hold on.
Unless injuries?
Yeah. Dane Jackson looks to be about it. I'll call that a victory Monday.
And Jordan Hancock.
Not Dane Jackson.
Jordan Hancock.
So, sure. The preseason's about getting out healthy.
Yeah.
And when they warmed up all their starters on the sidelines and on the field before the game, that was a victory. Good decision to not put Josh Allen out there.
I would agree. I did not need to put. I did. I asked my buddies last night because they were all complaining about the game. Like, I think Josh should start the second half. Just see if he could do it. When you're down 28-0, you want to just see if you could do it, Josh. Well, in one half, can you beat the Bears' third stringers 28-0 in a half?
Sounds like a reality show.
Sounds like a good idea. Good thing they didn't do that.
Right. Don't want that. What else happened in the preseason over the weekend? Anybody else?
Ollie Gordon in Miami. Name to know in the fantasy world.
Power back.
Was a Heisman candidate going into last year, but then he got a DUI. Remember that? Because Mike Gundy said like the most ridiculous quote a coach has ever said in the history of football.
I don't remember the quote.
The quote was like, "Oh, we've all done that, haven't we?"
Right, right.
And then he said his punishment was going to be that he's going to give him more carries. So, anyways, that guy.
That's tough.
Who was, again, a Heisman candidate before all that happened, got drafted in the sixth round, and he's been, like, dominating in Miami.
And that's one thing. If you're...
And HN got hurt.
If you're someone that's looking for, like, flyers, a power back on Miami, when Miami is intent on proving they can run the ball with power.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's very much a... Miami's talking a lot about needing to be tougher, meaner, more physical.
Right.
And kind of change the idea that they're just this finesse team, so... All right, Ollie Gordon.
Yeah, he's the name to know.
File it away.
And Jalen Wright, the other back there, fumbled. He fumbled at least once in this preseason game. So, like, everything is, you know, trending up right now for Gordon.
You might get fooled by running backs running over guys in the preseason because it's, you know, these are
yeah.
a lot of backups. Ashton Jeanty ran over a Niners player.
Yes, he did.
And there was one other guy that I'm trying to think of a truck stick out there.
Gordon bulldozed the dude.
Gordon did.
Someone else, maybe.
There's one more. Oh, Trevion Henderson through the Vikings defense.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. He looks good.
If you're trying to get Henderson, good luck. His draft stock is through the roof based on, like, two preseason games.
Yeah. Well, and one of those was a kick return touchdown that wouldn't even counted for fantasy.
Right. 803-0550. Sal, to make everybody feel a little better, maybe, you know, arrow up and arrow down. There'll be a lot of arrows down. But mainly... We'll get to the game with Sal at 8 o'clock. I want to talk about the joint practice and find out what happened there, how that looked. Josh Allen, the starters, they played a lot in the joint practice on Friday. Jeremy and Joe, if you have a phone call you want to throw our way, we were wide open, and take your calls on the other side here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
To the dismay of a lot of fans, you know, they didn't feel like the Bills really addressed
your side of the ball during the draft, went more defense. What's your assessment of the job that was done during the draft, and were you looking for more?
Listen, I trust our front office. I trust our coaching staff to develop the talent that we have here. All I have to do is focus on going out there and then getting it to the right people and then whoever's open. That's my job, and make sure that our offense is trying to roll in on all cylinders, and that's all I'm trying to do.
Pam Oliver last night during the broadcast asking Josh about the draft, focusing heavy on the defense. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR Sports Radio 550. We are happy to have you with us on this Monday. Happy to have you watching live. If you're on our YouTube stream, you can see us too. Now in football season, you know, here we are. We're ready for you. So like and subscribe on our YouTube page and stream with us there. And we'll talk to Sal coming up at 8 o'clock.
And we're talking to you with the temperature being in the 50s.
Yeah.
So.
It's nice.
Nice. Yeah.
To that point, so Pam Oliver brought that up with Josh Allen. And then when Brandon Bean's in the booth with the guys, they ask him about the draft. And what he said had me looking at Josh Allen's playoff game log immediately after. Because, you know, the game was on and the game was, the kind of thing that you might pick up your phone and say, like, what else is going on?
Yeah. It's an Instagram game.
So what did I look up? What did Bean say?
What did he say?
That had me thinking, you know what? Let me look at Josh Allen's playoff game log.
He said, which he has said before, the thing about how, you know, the way the offense performed last year and how they just felt like the defense fell a little bit short. Not in those exact words, but that's what he basically was trying to get across.
Yeah.
We addressed defense because that was the unit that let us down last year.
Yep. There was something else he said in that family of that conversation, but
okay, close.
Let me just give it to you.
Yeah.
He said, you're playing guys like Lamar and Pat and
gotta
Joe Burrow.
On the ground.
You got to get them on the ground.
Yep.
So then I looked up, how often teams get Josh Allen on the ground in the postseason? Because here are the Bills and the Chiefs. They are dead even, and it is August 18th, and we are going to talk about the Bills and the Chiefs until January. It's just going to work that way. I also have to give you something I discovered on Friday, because you were off on Friday, and I discovered something on Friday I want to get to
okay, that
I'll reintroduce here. But how often has Allen been sacked in the Bills' last four or five playoff losses?
I would guess it's not many. Four or five, like, has he been sacked seven times? Like, less than two a game, I would guess.
Their last game, they lost to the Chiefs. It's twice.
Okay.
Two sacks, lost 10 yards. Kansas City here, he was sacked zero times.
Okay.
Cincinnati game, he gets sacked one time for 3 yards.
Okay.
And then the 13 seconds game, he gets sacked twice for 16 yards.
So five times?
Five times. You have to go all the way back to 38-24, the first AFC Championship game appearance. Mm-hmm. They're all over him. They get him 4 times in that game
okay, for
53 yards. But, yeah, in their last four postseason losses, he's been sacked 5 times. And that's a testament to Josh. He's incredible at getting away. Not every one of these guys is the same at getting away. Lamar, pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the best ever. Mahomes used to be great at it. And last year, the last 2 years, he kind of gave up that superpower. He's not been as elite at pressure to sack ratio. Then there's Burrow, who is not elite at it. So,
yeah, Mahomes took, you said Allen had 5 sacks taken in his last 4 playoff games.
Yeah.
Mahomes had 6 taken in his last playoff game.
Right, against the Eagles.
And it was 2 against the Bills and then 3 against Houston. So he got sacked 11 times in the playoffs last season.
Yeah. So it's about the Bills and their pursuit of getting after the opposing team's quarterback, getting him on the ground. And with Lamar, I don't know if that's going to work. Maybe they don't rush the same way. With Mahomes, I used to think that wouldn't work, but the last couple seasons, he's just not as good. And I again, yes, his line is bad. You could see it in the numbers. Pressure to sack ratio.
He wasn't escaping.
He's not the same as he used to be. Now, maybe there's an injury in there, whatever. But Allen's always been elite at this. It's one of the things that bails them out. So 5 times in the last 4 playoff losses, a team has gotten to Allen. Because part of what I want to say with that is, if you listen to the Ravens say, how are you going to beat the Bills next year? And they said, we got to get Josh Allen on the ground. What would you think about that?
I would think that's a ridiculous plan. I would think that's a ridiculous plan.
Right.
Like, you're going to do what? One, they don't let much pressure up, and two, he gets away from it. So, good luck. Doesn't seem like the thing you should be chasing. And I guess for Mahomes, though, maybe that should be seen as different.
I tend to agree. I think for Mahomes, it is now worth chasing that. I think for Lamar and for Josh, that might not be worth chasing.
Right. And I guess he includes Burrow in there, too. It's like two of the three. I might be like, okay, I could see that. I could see you getting to Mahomes because we've seen a couple teams do it now. I could see you doing it to Burrow because Burrow takes a lot of sacks, right, historically. Jackson, though, like you got to go at him with something else. And I think they might know the something else. The something else is getting him to give them the ball a couple times.
Yep. Because there's more than just actually getting the quarterback on the ground. There's pressure. Getting pressure. Or there's also commanding double teams and just forcing the way they play.
And it's not just sacks. It's forcing them into turnovers. And that is something they have done to Jackson that they have not done to Mahomes, right? Like, one of the turnovers that Jackson makes last year in the playoff game, Hamlin is coming free on a blitz. It's more of a play call, obviously, than Hamlin beating like somebody on a blitz. But he gets pressure and trips up Jackson when he then puts the ball on the ground. And that's two turnovers in one half for Jackson. How many turnovers does Mahomes have in four playoff games against them? Is it even two?
He had a fumble in the AFC Championship game this year.
So that's what I mean. Like, they don't... Vaughn closing a regular season game against Kansas City a couple years ago, how did that happen? That wasn't a sack, but that was you were in his face chasing him out of the pocket. Yeah. You're about to get him on the ground.
You made him uncomfortable throughout the day.
And you force him to throw a pass that is right to Taron Johnson. So there are different ways to measure that other than just sacks, but Jackson would be the one and Allen would be the one. I would agree with you that, like, I just, that does not seem like, it doesn't seem like smart business. They roll out of the pocket and have pressure, and they're still going to be making 50-yard passes down the field or going to be running for 20 yards.
Sean in Toronto is next up. Hey, Sean, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
I want to get your guys' opinion giving our safety problem. If maybe since Jordan Poyer is a free agent, if you think he'd be any worse than Cole Bishop?
I think that the answer is probably yes, he would. He looked really slow the last 2 years. So, yeah, I think at this point in his career, how old is he? 34 years old. I would be stunned if he was an upgrade today over Cole Bishop. Just athletically. Mentally, I'm sure he would be like maybe even light years beyond where Bishop is. But I just don't think he can run fast enough anymore. So, I don't know. Will he come back? Will this become the Micah Hyde thing from last year where everyone was waiting for Micah Hyde to come back all season? They just sat in the practice squad for a month. Maybe we'll do that with Poyer. I'm not going to do it with Poyer. I think it's over for him.
Yep.
Is it like Simmons or like if there's another name out there that is available for trade, like maybe that could be interesting at some point here, but not a guy that's played here.
Justin Simmons... Again, like if we're going to go all the way on this conversation about what's up at safety. Last year, he was on the free agent market forever and then signed, a one-year deal in Atlanta for 7.5?
Really? Was that high, that number?
Yeah, 7.5. Yeah, he signed it late because I know we had a conversation about Justin Simmons last offseason.
Right.
And he's still just kind of out there. The safety, that was something that happened last year in the league, was that safeties were just kind of hanging out waiting for jobs. The position turned over quite a bit.
Yeah, best available safeties. I mean, Simmons is the only one you're going to worth talking about. Jordan Whitehead, who had Allen's number a couple years ago, but like nothing.
Javon Holland. No, sorry, he signed.
With he signed. But nobody you would expect to come in other than maybe Simmons and like challenge for a starting job. I mean, they want Bishop to do it. They want Bishop to show them. Why does he play last night? Why does he play maybe even still dealing with a little bit of an injury?
Because they need the reps.
He needs to get out there. He needs to get the reps because he's the plan. They badly want him, I'm sure, to come in and play. Because otherwise, I mean, you talked about Brett Coleman's breakdown, how they were protecting their safeties last year. If Bishop can't do it, then they're right back to Hamlin and Rapp again and then doing the exact same thing as they were last year, where they have to insulate their safeties like they never had before.
803-0550. We will get a break in It's Buffalo Bills football Monday. Bills get trounced by the Bears 38-0 in a game that means really nothing. But, you know, other issues we're talking about, taking your phone calls. We'll talk about it with Sal. Get the review of the joint practice as well, where we did get the Bills' top team, the ones, Josh Allen, Keon Coleman, among others.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
So we'll talk about that with Sal, and your phone calls are welcome. Throw them our way. Throw them to Sal, 803-0550 here on WGR.
And that's awkward, and it's in. And a set piece pays dividends at Old Trafford for the Gunners inside 13 minutes. Declan Rice that took it. The goalkeeper came and flailed. Calafiori tried to polish it off on the line. It may well have been over the line. Arsenal in front.
Listen, if you want some overreaction theater, you decide if it's overreaction. The Bills lost 38-0 in the preseason. Manchester United and Arsenal played yesterday on opening day, and Arsenal won 1-0. And in the post-game show, the NBC panel, one of the first questions was, does Manchester United need a new goalkeeper? And the answer immediately was yes. Great season.
After allowing one goal?
One goal.
Right, that's it.
Great season. Thanks for coming. That's a tight leash. A new goalie? Yes.
I need an alter ego for as a goalie for soccer now.
That's our buddy Chris Russell. I always ask him as a goalie. He played soccer, played some goal. I go, hey, as a goalie.
Yeah. I look forward to night one of the Sabre season after one Lukanen goal, everyone going, I think we need a new goaltender.
Right.
I think it's time.
803-0550 to join us if you'd like. Sal coming up in a minute. ProFootballTalk.com, front page, McDermott's. Certainly not up to our standard. I could have predicted that exact line. You don't have to be mad about last night's game. I have no doubt that he will not be too happy about it. The Commanders are shopping Brian Robinson Jr.
It's weird.
Okay.
Isn't it a weird time of year to be shopping your starting running back?
Yes.
I know they don't want to pay him, I guess, but was he going to get like some... He wasn't getting the James Cook contract.
I don't know if Burrow's going to play tonight. Tonight's Bengals and Commanders.
He played in the first game.
He played a lot in the first game. And
yeah.
Chase played a lot in the first game. And the point was they need to do that because they start slow all the time. Does that mean they play in a second preseason game?
I think they will play. He said they'll play a quarter. And that will be likely it for Burrow in the preseason. So he won't play the third game, but he's expected to play about a quarter tonight.
All right. You want a stat of the day before we get off to Sal and chatting about this 38-0 beatdown courtesy of the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
Stat of the day comes from Justin Ray. It's a golf stat.
Golf stat.
You. Yeah, golf stat.
Scheffler?
Yes. So, Scottie Scheffler won, which gives him back-to-back PGA Tour seasons with 5 wins or more. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Back-to-back seasons with 5 wins or more.
Let me hit the pause button real quick. Is this about to be a Scheffler stat that's really a Tiger Woods stat?
You are correct.
I can see it coming. This is a Scheffler stat that is going to quickly turn into, can you believe how good Tiger Woods was?
Back-to-back 5 wins or more.
Okay.
And only one other player has done that, and that's Tiger Woods. He did it in the 99-2000 back-to-back season.
Okay.
And 2000-2001.
Okay.
And 2001-2002.
Okay.
And 2002-2003. And then 2005-2006. And 2006-2007. Only in 04 did he miss that 5 wins.
And what was 04?
I think I saw that even in that he had ten top fives in that season. So anyway.
Yeah.
Scotty just did something that only one other person has done, and that's Tiger, who did it 6 times. There you go. Congratulations to Scottie Scheffler.
He had 14 top 10 finishes in 2004.
He's pretty good. Golfer of the year there. He's good.
One win. That was a bad year for him.
Tiger? Oh, yes. Sal, when we get back. All right. Sal's going to arrow up, arrow down us, make us feel a little bit better about what was a weekend with the Bears, not just a Sunday night football mess. It's Jeremy White, Sneaky Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.